want to share with you the Strong Women song. I think it's fitting to end this beautiful day we've had. So this song came from Kingston Penitentiary, and they sang it for hours and hours and hours because our women needed it. It was medicine for them, and it kept them alive all night and kept them feeling stronger. So hopefully it'll keep you strong.
I'm Daniel Centeno. You're listening to CGRU 1280 AM. This story is part of the Local Journalism Initiative. The Ontario Native Women's Association is celebrating its 50-year anniversary this month. The organization was established in 1971 to help set up programs and services for Indigenous women and their families, regardless of status or location. ONWA was created to help Indigenous women have a wider voice and participation in continued efforts to build community and preserve language, heritage, and identity, according to its website. To celebrate the anniversary, the organization held a press conference in Thunder Bay, Ontario, with a speech from its president, Dr. Don Lavelle Harvard, and the publication of the fifth edition of ONWA's magazine, She Is Wise.
We are celebrating 50 years of the Ontario Native Women's Association. And that is an amazing, amazing milestone. And let's have a wonderful round of applause for that. And you know, there isn't enough time in this entire day to speak about all of the extraordinary things that this organization has done in the past, does today, and is planning for the future. And at this point, speaking of Indigenous women's leadership, I would like to call upon the board president, Don Lavelle Harvard.
I realize 50 years. We are here to celebrate 50 years of this association. And when Andre and I were talking about what to say in our opening, and I realize just how important it is that we are gathered here today to celebrate that we're not just surviving anymore. We're thriving. When I look out and I see so many powerful women, when I see how many tens of thousands of people that we have helped this year, not just attend a conference, you know, 30,000 people have been supported directly through services from ONWA this year. That is amazing. A lot of people forget how ONWA started. Back in the 1970s, when my mom lost her status and she was at the Supreme Court struggling to get her status back, and the National Indian Brotherhood of Saskatchewan and the Indian Brotherhood of Manitoba and Alberta and every province across this country came out and spoke against her, and they sided with the government. And those lawyers said, where's the women? Who speaks for the women? Nobody. And because my mom happened to be in Rochdale in Toronto at that time and had friends like Clayton Ruby and Eddie Greenspan, and I said, well, we can fix that. If there's no one to speak for the women, let's create our own organizations. And they went and they started. They got together, brought those women together who are fighting for their status, who are fighting for their right to be an Indian, for fighting for their right to belong in our communities, with our families and our people and our nations. Those few women warriors got together and said, okay, if there's no one to speak for us, we'll create our own organizations. And they did, because they were warriors. They had their very first meeting right here in Thunder Bay in the fall of 2019. Literally hundreds of thousands of Indigenous women and their children and grandchildren are now able to be reinstated to our communities. They're able to apply for registration and have the right to belong in our nations again, because those women stood up, because one actually very small woman stood up. I often, you know, talk to our students in the universities and give this presentation and talk about our women warriors. And they're like, wow, they're such big, powerful women. And I was like, you know, she's actually not even 5 feet tall. But it's about having a big heart and big courage and big spirit. And that's what brought us all together. And then when those women got together and they started talking about, how do we make sure our families have the same opportunities that everybody else does? How do we make sure that our families have the opportunity to have voice, to meet the challenges they face, to provide for themselves and their families? They sat around those kitchen tables. They started talking about, how do we make our families and communities safe for our women and children? And even though it took them 50 years to get there, they forced the government to change. Can you imagine? And 50 years later, here we are at ONWA, doing amazing, powerful things. When I come through and I see the momentum, but what's most important is that we have never lost touch with our vision. We have never lost touch with our vision, was that we are here as a group of grassroots women working in grassroots families and communities around kitchen tables and backyard fires to make our lives better. And we have never lost sight of that, because that is our foundation, our culture, our language, and who we are. And one of the other most important things that we have never lost sight of is that we accept everyone. Uh-oh, apparently I wasn't supposed to say that. We don't argue about who has a status card and who doesn't. We don't talk about who has membership and who doesn't. This is for all of our Indigenous sisters, all of our mothers, grandmothers, aunties, cousins, daughters, and all of our families, because we are inclusive and we are about bringing everybody in. And so those are the most foundational things from our beginning that we have never lost sight of. But most importantly, we have never lost sight of the fact that we are not here to speak for Indigenous women. In my years as president, and actually people often ask me how I became involved as president, because everybody knows, right? This is not a big secret. I'm stepping down this year. I'm done. And people often ask me how I got involved. And everybody thinks that, you know, this was a dream of mine since I was a little girl to follow in my mom's footsteps. No, she tricked me into becoming president. I still remember it was a meeting we had in Sault Ste. Marie. My mom called me up. I was in Kingston and she said, hey, your auntie and your grandma, we're all going to Sault Ste. Marie. Why don't you come visit? We'll have fun. We'll have a weekend together. And I thought, awesome, we're going to the casino. I like the buffet. Let's go. Off I went. I walked into the hotel at the Water Tower and there was hundreds of Indigenous women. My mom come up and she said, we're going over here to the elders meeting. Youth are over there. Bye. And she split and left me. So I had nothing to, but I was like, okay. And I walked down. I came out of that room as an alternative rep on the board. And within a couple of months, I was on the board. And then snap, 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 couple, like, I woke up and I was the Native Women's Association of Canada president. That was the end of the conversation. And so even though I didn't have the confidence in me, those women, Josephine, Elise, Agnes, those women who got us this far, they knew what we needed and they knew where we were going. And they helped every day when things were tough. They helped to get us here where we are as the largest, strongest, and best Indigenous women's organization, not just in this country, but I would dare to say in this entire continent, 100%. And if we've served 30,000 families, that's a very legitimate claim. I want to say, everybody keeps talking about where we're going. We have so much more to do. And when I leave here, I'm not going far, trust me. I'm still going to be in everybody's face, don't worry. But when we leave, we have lots to do. And I am so confident. And I was, in fact, talking. I was recruiting a little bit to see who else was going to run for president. And I said, don't worry. You are going to be fabulously supported because we have the best staff who are well-informed. They'll make sure you're prepared. You'll have everything you need because we have an amazing team at ONWA. Our board, our grandmothers, and our staff are fabulous. And I want to say that is the most important thing for me. And I want to give you all my gratitude for making these last, it's almost been 20 years since Cora and I think, you know, we've been together for those 20 years. And I just want to offer everybody my heartfelt thanks for being here.
The magazine was showcased at the press conference with notable Canadian Indigenous women on the cover, including Jody Wilson-Raybould and Ryerson professor Dr. Pamela Palmetter.
And now here we are, and we are about to unveil our fifth edition of our magazine, our 50th anniversary edition. And this edition of the magazine reflects Indigenous women in leadership across Canada. And I say, when we think about Indigenous women in leadership and ONWA, you know what? It's not just here in Thunder Bay. It's not just here in Ontario. ONWA is having influence for Indigenous women across this country. And I think this magazine is that influence. It's digital, it's online, and it's also in print.
I'm Daniel Centeno. You're listening to CJRU 1280 AM. This story is part of the Local Journalism Initiative.